Well, good morning, Christ Church. Welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in with us today. If this is your first time, you are picking a great Sunday to come and to be part of our church because we're starting a brand new sermon series called Homecoming. And for the month of February, we're going to be in this sermon series, and we're going to talk about how we can find our way back to God. I'm really excited about this series, and I think it's going to be really, really helpful. Now, I want to take a trip down memory lane with you today. So I want you to think back, and I want you to remember your first homecoming. Now, if you're really brave today, you can just put what that date was in the chat. We won't judge you. No worries. It'll be great. But remember your first homecoming? I remember when I was a freshman in high school, and people were talking about, they're like, hey, are you going to homecoming? And I was like, homecoming? I don't even know what that is. And they told me about how big of a deal it was, and that I had to like get a suit. So I went to my mom and I was like, Mom, can you buy me a suit? And my mom, being the great woman that she is, she took me, got me a suit. And then I was like, well, I need a date too. That might be a little more complicated than getting a suit. So I saw this girl that was really cool and I was thought was cute. And I asked her out. And you may, some of you will know what I'm talking about here, but I asked her out through AOL Instant Messenger. Anyone remember that? And this is what cavemen used to communicate. And I typed away, you know, hey, would you like to go to homecoming with me? And by the grace of God, she said, yes. And then the next day, her friend said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I said, sure. And she said, hey, last night, did you ask Courtney to homecoming? I said, yeah. She said, okay, I just want to be clear because... apparently, I wasn't clear at all in my instant messaging. So, you know, the awkward teen years really came through even over AIM. But it ended up being a great time and a great memory. And I still look back at it and laugh today. But, you know, I want to talk about a different type of homecoming today. I want to talk about a homecoming that's an even bigger deal and is meant to be a far bigger celebration. It's a type of homecoming where we decide that we are going to reconnect with God. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for all the people that we know and love, that each of us could have a real homecoming moment where we draw a line in the sand and we decide that we are going to commit our lives fully to God. And that's what we're going to talk about in this series. Now, as soon as we start talking about this subject, it raises questions in our minds and our heart. And for some of us, these questions really keep us from coming back to God. And each week we're going to talk about a different question, but today I want to talk about this question, is it too late for me? Is it too late for me to come back to God? Is it too late? Have I messed things up too much? Maybe for some of us, we're listening today and we're like, Chet, I've been running for God for like decades. I think it's too late for me. Maybe there's a situation in our lives where we just feel like we've missed God's best. I remember years ago talking to a man that was in his mid-40s. And I was just kind of getting into ministry, and he looked at me in the eye, and he said, man, you're doing what I should have done. Like, you're trying to be a pastor, and you're going to school, and you're serving in ministry. He said, I should have done that when I was your age. But now I'm in my mid-40s, and it's too late for me. And that was what he really felt like. Maybe there's a relationship in our life that we feel like it's too late. There's been too much damage. There's been too much hurt. There's been too much struggle, and it's too late. And today, I want to talk about this whole idea of it's too late, because we are going to see a powerful story where Jesus leads someone back to God, where everyone would think it's way too late. But we're going to see with Jesus, time is a very, very different thing. Because the reality is when you and I believe it's too late, we will then never try, and will, even more importantly, never reach out to God for help. So we're going to look at this passage. It's in Luke chapter 23, and we're going to start right at verse 39. And what has happened up until this point is that Jesus has been crucified, and on either side of him, he's being crucified with two criminals. Luke calls them criminals. Other gospels call them thieves. So either way, these were guys that had done some pretty bad things because they had received the death sentence and were being publicly put to death. And so on either side of them are these criminals. And it says one of the criminals hurled insults at them. Now, the rest of the scene, all these other people, except for a few of those who had loved Jesus and followed him, were mocking him and insulting him as well. And that was kind of a typical thing to happen at these public executions. And so one of the criminals was saying, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." So he's looking at Jesus and he's saying, "Wait, aren't you the one that raised the dead before?" He must have known a bit about Jesus's reputation. "Aren't you the one that healed lepers and made blind men see? Well, can't you do something right now?" But he was saying it with spite and sneering at him. But the other criminal rebuked him. And he said, "Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. We've earned this cross. We've messed up. We've hurt people. We've done wrong and evil things. But Jesus, he hasn't earned this cross." He knew that. This man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And listen to this verse. This is one of the most powerful verses in all of the scripture. Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It's not too late. It's not too late. This man was in his moments right before death, and he sought Jesus' help for a lifetime of messing up. And guess what? Jesus helped him. It wasn't too late. It's not too late for you either. Now, let's dig into this because there are some really important and helpful things for us to think about. And I want to just talk about two ideas today. I want to talk about the nature of time and the nature of Jesus. The nature of time and the nature of Jesus. And let's first talk about the nature of time. So we are seeing this criminal at the end of his life. So his time is coming to a close. He's not going to make it off of that cross. His life is coming to an end. He knows it. And whenever you're at the end of your story, when you're at the end of anything, it's so easy to reflect back and to see it with a greater clarity. And I'm sure that this man was doing it because he's very self-aware in these last moments. And one of the important things to understand about time is that time is always working for us or against us. Time is always compounding. It's gaining interest, but it's gaining interest in healthy ways or unhealthy ways. But either way, it's always building momentum in one direction or the other. If you can kind of go back to high school and remember some lessons on compound interest, how when you put money and you have a good interest rate, that the more time it has, the more that just builds and builds and builds, and time becomes a tremendous asset. But compound interest works the other way. When we spend our lives hurting people in bad habits, in unhealthy practices, in irresponsibility, that gains momentum and interest as well. And so what I want you to see today, that the time you have, it is either working for you or it is working against you. We're earning interest every day on the investments that we're making. And I want you to just take a second. I want you to think for yourself. What are you gaining interest on right now? Is your marriage gaining good interest? Or is it gaining interest of hurt, of neglect, of meanness? Is our relationships with our kids or our friends, is it gaining the right type of interest? And I just want to take a moment and I want to talk to all the young people for a second. Those who are 50, 60, the young people. Can I get an amen on that? I want to talk to you, the young people in the room. But no, really, those who are in college or high school, I want you to just hear me as an older brother in Christ for a second. You have this incredible gift from God called the gift of time. And right now, you can decide what kind of investment you're going to make with your life. You can decide how you're going to spend it. And you have this remarkable opportunity to give it to God and to allow him to grow it and to gain interest and to make it something that is precious and expensive in all the right ways. And you can build tremendous wealth in the kingdom of God. And I want you to think about what that might look like for you to do that. If you're in high school or college, just hear me out. I want you just to decide today that you are going to invest your life in the kingdom of God. Just decide that right now, that you're going to give God your best effort, your best gifts. You're going to try to honor him when you're at school, when you're at work, when you get married one day, when you have a family, when you have a career. You're going to just constantly give it back to God. And you're going to stay focused and disciplined on what he wants for you. If you make that decision today, I promise you will not regret it. And you will look back at the moment and say, man, that was so wise. Some of my favorite thoughts that I would just tell my younger self, I would actually probably punch him in the face a few times, tell him, then punch him back in the face a few times and tell him again. But hear me out on this. You can pay now or you can pay later. But paying now is a lot cheaper. Let me give you another one. Play the long game with your life. Good habits plus time equals transformation. Bad habits plus time equals a life of regret. You get to choose that right now. The pain of self-discipline is less than the pain of regret. Getting up and going to the gym every day for a year, there's some pain to that. But at the end of the year, it's less pain than sitting there and being like, oh man, I did it again. Put another 10 on. Here we go. The pain of self-discipline is less than the pain of regret. Choose the hard right over the easy wrong. Here's what I'm saying to you today. Use the power of time. Invest your life in God's kingdom. Because look at this criminal here. Let's go back to the story. The criminal, here he is on the cross. And what has he accumulated? He accumulated a life of crime, public disgrace, and personal shame, right? His crimes had led him to the cross. He was being shamed publicly for it. And he even admitted to Jesus, that when talking to that other criminal next to him, he said, hey, listen, we're getting what we deserve. I know I wasted this gift of life. Time is a powerful thing. But the story doesn't end there, does it? And it doesn't end there because of who Jesus is. So let's talk for a second about the nature of Jesus. In the 11th hour, in the final moments of his life, this criminal, he asked Jesus for help. He rebukes the criminal who is mocking Jesus, and then he looks to Jesus and he says, remember me when you go into your kingdom. In other words, if there is anything you can do to help me, would you please help me? And think about that. And let me ask just a painfully simple question. Did that criminal deserve to be helped by Jesus? Did he deserve it? Well, we can think about it two ways. One, from what we know, the little that we know about his story, there really was nothing about his past that we know that would indicate at all that he deserved being helped by Jesus. Again, his life had accumulated to public disgrace, to public execution, to being on the cross and admittedly saying, I messed it up. So we can, I think, truly assume, that he probably did not deserve it from anything from his past. But maybe we could look at it from another angle. Did he deserve it because he was going to leave the cross and he was going to live this great life that was going to make up for all the mistakes that he had made in the past? And it was going to so outweigh it that he could deserve it because of the potential that he had. But we can also reject that because he wasn't making it off that cross. That was where he was going to die. And so what I want you to see today is that that criminal had nothing to offer Jesus. There was no barter to be made. There was no leverage that he had. Jesus was under no requirement to help him at all because he had nothing to give him. All that he had to give Jesus was a life of mistakes. And all that he had to give to Jesus was complete desperation and need. That was it. But yet, what did Jesus do? He helped him. He gave him grace. He changed his life in that moment, but he also changed his eternity. Because that criminal, he knew something about Jesus that you and I need to know today. Notice again the language of the criminal. He says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now that line is easy to read over, but there's a lot in that because what that criminal was acknowledging about Jesus is he's saying, you are a great king who is entering a great kingdom. And he said, remember me. Now many of the other people in Jesus's day did not understand Jesus as this great king, but this criminal, for whatever reason that, you know, puzzle commentators, he understood it. And he looked at him, and he asked for help. And this is what you need to know today. Jesus does not help us because we have anything to offer him. Jesus helps us because he is a great king. And he is a king that rules with grace and mercy. His kingdom is a kingdom of grace. It's a kingdom of forgiveness. It's a kingdom where people like the criminal and people, honestly, like me, have a place, not because of who we were and not because of who we are going to be, but simply because Christ has answered our call for help. And so today, church, I want you to know that there is still time left because Christ is still present. You may not know it, but grace is actually the heaviest object in the whole universe. Grace can completely outweigh a lifetime of failure and mistakes. Grace can completely outweigh the most terrible of situations and ones that are self-created. Grace will always completely outweigh it because it is the heaviest object in the universe, and Christ is the King of all grace. And just like that criminal, he is offering it to us today. It is not too late. It's not too late. I don't care how bad you've messed up. I don't care how much you failed. I don't care how hopeless the situation is. If you go to Christ, you will find grace. And when grace enters the story, it will completely outweigh all that was done before. See, this man, up until this point, he was only known for all his mistakes. But 2,000 years later, we don't really know him for his mistakes. We know him for the grace that was shown to him. That is the power of Jesus Christ. It's not too late. Jesus was ridiculed. He was mocked on the cross. He was spit on and abused. But he endured all of that, so that when you and I go to him, we can be assured of help from God. So let me give you two challenges today, two things to think about, two things to hold in your heart. Number one, I want you to look at the thing that you are stressing about, the thing that you feel like it's too late for, that just it's too far gone, it's too out of your control. There's been too much pain and too much frustration and too much loss. And I want you to look at that thing not as a hopeless cause. like probably all those who are looking at that criminal on the cross and just saying, man, what a tragic and ugly life. I'm sure they saw it as a hopeless cause. But I want you to look at that as an opportunity for God to bring tons of grace into your life. The more hopeless the situation, the more grace that he can bring. The more ugly the situation, the more grace that he can bring. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon, he said, "Kiss the wave that throws you upon the rock of ages." Kiss the wave that throws you upon the rock of ages. I know there are waves in our life. There are waves of pain. There are waves of loss. There are waves of failure. There are waves of our own stupidity. And instead of just trying to fight those waves, today can we just say, you know what? I will bless those waves if they bring me back to God, if they bring me back to Christ. Because church, when you and I, when we go to him, you might have nothing to bring. In fact, I know you have nothing to bring. But here's what I also know. He will give you grace for all that you need. There's a great psalm, and I've made it a prayer for myself this week, and I want to encourage you to pray this throughout this week when you are feeling like it's too late for me, it's too late for my marriage, it's too late for my own soul, it's too late for me to live the life that God has longs for me to live. I want you to recite to yourself Psalm 19. Here's what it says. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Turn to me and have mercy on me. God, I don't deserve it. I can't barter anything with you. I can't bring anything to the table, but I'm just asking you, would you turn to me and bring mercy? Because when he does, our stories change, and we see it is not too late. Now, if Jesus can be this helpful on the cross, how helpful is he now that he's not on a cross, but he's resurrected, and he's on a throne, and he's at the right hand of God? If Jesus on the cross is this helpful, how much more helpful will Jesus be to you and me, since he is resurrected, exalted, ascended at the right hand of God, and willing to meet you in your time of need? Church, it's not too late. It's not too late, not because of you, not because of your situation. It's not too late because of Jesus Christ. And would you now go with me and let's pray to him right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you. You are the great King. Father, you are exalted. You are at the right hand of God. Father, I pray for any person who is listening, who is watching today, and they have just told themselves again and again, it's too late. It's too late for me. It's too late for us. It's too late for this. It's too late for that. And I pray, Father, that in this moment right now, we would stop saying that, and we would just look to you and say, would you help me? Christ, would you meet me? King Jesus, would you remember me? Would you turn to me, and would you be gracious to me as you do for those who love your name? And right now, Lord, I pray that we could turn to you. Some of us, maybe for the first time today, we could just decide that we're coming back home. We're coming back to the Lord, and we're coming not in fear, but we're coming to a God that we know is going to accept us and love us, because if he accepted this thief on the cross, he'll accept us too. If he accepted me, he'll accept anyone. And I pray, Father, that we could now just go to you and we could see your grace pour into our lives and we could be changed by it. I ask all this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.